Blog Talk Radio.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle and purify our hearts. Surround us in this place. Want you to breathe new life within us. Send a refreshing love. Purify our hearts. Let your glory fill.
Let your glory fill this.
Let your all consuming fire. Yeah. Yeah.
Purify our hearts.
Surround us.
Hallelujah. Bless you. We bless you.
Bless you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm opening up the lines. I just want you all to just worship the Lord a little bit this morning.
Lord Jesus, just worship you.
Hallelujah, just lift up your voices.
Oh, just let your glory fill the temple, Lord Jesus. We just worship you, Lord. Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle. Purify our hearts. Surround us in this place. We want to breathe new life within. Send a refreshing along. Purify our hearts. Let your glory fill. Oh, we just worship you, Lord Jesus. We just worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord Jesus. We ask, Lord, that while we're in this, Lord Jesus, that you find pleasing sight, that as we lift up and as we build up a throne of praise to you, Lord Jesus, that you find it pleasing enough to come and visit with us, Lord, and just have a seat, Lord, and just let us sit at your footstep, Lord, that we can hear your word, that, Lord, we can hear your word, that we can see your word, that we can do your word immediately, like you called us to do. Lord, we decrease of self right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, come before you with a spirit of humility, with a spirit of accountability, willing to listen to you today, Lord, that you will reside on the inside of us, that you can change our circumstances on the outside. Lord, we will not forget to praise you, Lord. We will not forget to thank you, not for what you're about to do, but for all the things that you've done, all the circumstances that you've corrected, all the bad things that were going our way that you just turned around, Lord. We thank you for that today. Just because of who you are, we worship you. Jehovah Jireh, you're our provider. Jehovah Nisi, the Prince of Peace. Jehovah Shalom, we worship you and we praise you. In your Son Jesus' name. In your Son Jesus' name. In your Son Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can't say, Lord, connect us, Lord, join us. Take his worship, worship. Oh, just worship him. Forget about everything, just worship him.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Your Lord. You're thank you, Lord Jesus. You're working it. Lord Jesus.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Glory to God.
Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
For we bask in your presence, Lord Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus. He is available for all of us. And, you know, it was just so simple. You remember the story when the man was after Jesus. He was fighting through the crowd, and all the people were after him. And all he could do was reach up and touch the hem of his garment.
Yes.
And the Lord immediately turned and said, because of your faith, you are healed. Mm-hmm. And I dare you today to reach up in the heavenlies.
Oh, yeah.
Reach up in the heavenlies and pull down your healing. Heavenly. And pull down your blessing. Reach up in the heavenlies and pull down the answer to all your circumstances. He's available right now. Because whether we believe it or not, it's through the worship. It's through the act of giving him exonerated praise.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
That when we really can decrease of self, to find in our being to just worship him, just because we know that he is the greatest of all. And with him, all things are possible. But without him, we're lost. So I encourage you today, in this atmosphere of praise, that you just visualize. You know, we talked about yesterday, we're hearing the word. Let that word resonate in you and start to see it. That now you can reach up and visualize the heavenlies and pull down what God has said is yours. I claim it right now. Jesus, move mightily.
Hallelujah, God. We honor you, God. Oh, we worship you, God.
Jesus, we honor you, God.
Hallelujah.
Worship is the key. to getting to where you want to go. Because that's where we relinquish all power and we relinquish all might.
Yes.
And how the Spirit takes control, because the agreement of praise, God can now allow his strength, his might, and his power to move immediately. When? Now. When? Now. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of waiting on catching up to the things of God. I'm ready for the now things of God to manifest right now in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And we talked about yesterday. I just want to recap a little bit, and we're going to go right into this thing because I feel the Lord moving in this. And I believe what he's doing, he's about to manifest some major change in each and every one of our lives. Now, we talked about yesterday, just to keep us in agreement, the coach is back, and I'm asking for accountability. I'm asking for your focused attention. We don't want to settle for being selective or pretending. We want to be focused, and I'm requiring that of you today in the name of Jesus. Now, we talked about yesterday about our war, our battle, this conscious mind against the subconscious mind. And remember, the flesh will always be led by our senses. But our inner man, our God in us, will be led by our consciousness to follow and listen to God without any reservation. We also talked about the realm of now. Now faith. If you now diligently seek and hear his word and see his word in it, that you can make life-changing decisions. And even though on the 19th one you may have made a bad decision, if you stay in the now, you can always make a conscious choice to change. When? Now. So you get into 21, and maybe you made a mistake. You still have 22 to catch it back up again. But we don't leave sin dormant. We repent and we move on. That's why it's important to stay focused in the now. And then we become habitual to not do the same things over and over and over and over and over again. Now, yesterday we were ending at the point of we had just ended the changing the way you think, and we were going to go to the battlefield. But the Lord was speaking to me this morning, and he redirected me, and I want to share with everyone that Provoke Your Purpose is a 7-step curriculum that could be taught by 1 to 7, 7 to 3, 3 to 4, and it can be mixed around because it's all the word, and it all connects to the way we think. So God directed me to go a different direction for us that are in a, an express Provoke to Purpose. Because through 15 hours, I'm trying to give you as much of it as I can in less than 4. So praise God. We're going to let him be in control, and I'm going to follow the instructions. So today, what I want to talk to us about is I want to take a look at our Christian qualities, how we can become more effective as this time. Oh, there's that word again, time. So you mean to tell me that it's confirmed that not only is Pastor Ed or Coach talking about the relevance of time in our relationship with God, but I believe that we're being taught here in the Word of God that in due time, Ecclesiastes tells us that there's a time and a season for everything. So just remember these little keys about time, and it'll come back into fruition to show that time is important on whether we spend it dormant or active. It's against each and every one of us. There's no respect of person who gets it and who doesn't get it. Because pastor has been over a flock for 20 years, and you've only been in church a year, and you think that he doesn't get attacked, guess what? There's no respect to who this battle is against. And more so against the pastors, because we have what you call a calling. And if we don't have the protective covering around us, and we have open areas where attack can come, you better believe we have more to worry about than most people. But not to make the difference, there is no difference. Just like you can be attacked, so can the pastor, so can the bishop, so can the president, and anybody else. There's no respect to person. So if we look at this word, the word tells us that in view of all this, we have to make an effort to respond to God's promises. We have to supplement our faith with a generous provision, a generous provision of belief. Not only do we just have faith, but we just build ourselves up to have so much belief in our faith that it is now a provision because we're expecting things. We must have moral excellence. Not only do we just make decisions because it feels good, we know what the word says. It gives us a morality in our belief that we have to make our choices that go by our moral acceptance, which comes from the word of God. It's called moral excellence. See, our moral excellence, we have to become concentrated. If we're going to say we're a body of Christ, and we're going to take on the Christian qualities of Jesus, we have to, first of all, agree to walk in oneness. You know, we say it's a new life of Christ, but the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, so that makes it available to anyone. Any one of us that receive it should be accepted in any group, fashion, church, organization, because we should become one. I'm not against Baptists, and I'm not against religional names. I'm just against the separation of oneness. And what I say by that is, the word of God says that he's coming back for five churches. No, wait, maybe let me read that again. The word of God said he's coming back for four churches? No. Maybe I'll get it right this time. I think he said that he's coming back for one church with one mind, one thought, one purpose of exemplifying Christ as our Lord. Now, when we get these qualities of oneness, if we get these qualities, like this situation with new destiny and provoke to purpose, we just met. But from the time we connected, letting the lesser things die, meaning myself and meaning Evangelist Adrian, we let ourselves die and not movable, unmovable, unshakable. That when we take a stand, we already know we're not going to be moved because we're not alone. See, there's power in numbers. And we may think it's the 1,000 people church here and the 1,000 people church here and the 1,000 people church here. Well, they may have power in that one institution, but where is the power for the body? If we take 3,000, those numbers multiply. And that's what I'm going to do today. He gave me a green light to share some particular principles that he's given me that I found directly in the Word of God. And I wasn't going to do it because it usually goes with the program, but this morning he just gave me a green light and said, son, you have the authority to go forth, share it wherever you want to share it. So here I am today to give you some of the principles that God has shown me on how we can be systematic in the Word of God. When you're a system, if anybody knows business, a system is something that produces exactly what you put in. It's called throughput. Like, say, for instance, let me give you an example. You're a cookie manufacturer, and you get paid by making the best chocolate chip cookies in the world. Now, your system is built by putting ingredients in, having the proper systems in the middle to now take the ingredients and make the ingredients into the cookie that become the good process on the outside. Glory to God. You're a millionaire. You're waiting to be made right now. I know I got three people out here that cook and three people that are listening that have dreams and ideas. And here's a system for how you can godly put it together. Now, in the system of making cookies, you got your milk, you got your chocolate chips, you got your flour, and you got your little salt and other ingredients you have to have. But instead of you, as the controller of the system, checking every area of it, they're wondering, that is not the same cookie that you brought for me to test. Well, then you have to go back to your system. And your system remains the same. So whatever you put in, that's exactly what you'll get out. So you go back to the front and you check everything, and then you notice on your milk that the milk was, you bought it in time to make it, but because you had that mechanical problem, you had to hold off. The milk outdated and got became spoiled. But because you didn't have quality control at the beginning of the, or vice versa, when people are not being conscious to God's word, whatever goes in comes out. Person listens to this song forever. Never cursed a day in their life. But because this song had one word in it that just was vulgar, if that person listens to that song long enough, the next time you see them, if you happen to stomp their toe, I guarantee you the word that comes out their mouth is that negative word that has been channeled in through their system.
Ooh.
If we're going to be conscious, folks, if we're going to be focused, see, we have to start depositing in the good things and let the bad things go somewhere else. That's being conscious. That's being aware of, you know, my surroundings. That's being aware of my environment. That's being aware of my company. That's being aware of where I fellowship. That's being aware of where I sow my seed. See, we have to be so aware if it's good ground, if it's good word, if it's good company, if it's good environment. We're the ones that are held accountable to be aware of what we let ourselves be in. I call it the corridor principle. You know, a lot of people follow you because they see something that you have that they want. And you usually will suck into you the likenesses of yourself. You know, in my business, when I'm doing interviews, if I want to interview someone, if you can read all you want, you can worship all you want, but you don't tithe, that system is going to fall down because there's a missing ingredient.
Oh.
If God's word was meant to be fulfilled completely, not partially. So when we start to develop traits, and these traits come from Christ, because he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Man, that is encouraging that I have the opportunity to have the same mind of Christ. Glory to God. He was tempted and didn't even worry about it. He just said, get behind me. He was given every opportunity to have everything this world had to offer, which we all know he could have commanded at one sound. But just for the sake of the lesson, he was able to withstand. Well, if I can have the same mind of Christ in me that he had, I can withstand it too. And that's when, you know, see, Jesus didn't blame the devil. He just cast him down. But a lot of us want to keep on blaming the devil instead of looking in the mirror and understanding it's our responsibility to become focused. It's our responsibility to become accountable. And I know I use those two words a lot, but they're very powerful in what God is trying to do. Now, the seven traits of the character of Jesus. Number one is virtue. Virtue comes from 2 Peter 1 and 3. That is fulfilling God's design for your life of moral excellence. It means that when I become conscious to the uncompromised word of God, that now that is what I live by. You know at work when you get a new job and you just get hired, what do they give you? They give you an employee manual. And then after you get your position, they give you now another manual for your department. And then after you learn your department's manual, they give you what they call an SOP, Standard Operational Procedure. If you don't follow those procedures, you will get fired. We got to look at the Word of God the same way. If we want life and we want life more abundantly, we have to follow his instructions. And not only partially, brothers and sisters, we have to follow his word to the T.
Wow.
Now, maybe somebody today says, that's impossible. I beg to differ with you. It is not impossible because with God, all things are possible. Without him, we're lost. So when we get virtue, boom, we can walk in excellence. Number two, the second trait of a character of Christ is knowledge. See, we must study the word to gain wisdom.
The only way we can combat the enemy, and we can combat falsehood, and we can combat the past, and we can combat all of the enemy's tricks, is that we have to gain wisdom. And wisdom only comes by knowledge. And knowledge only comes by the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Number three. Now, this may be difficult for some. But number three, we need to be self-controlled. We must be revering to God. We fear God so much to revere yourself, to decrease yourself, and say that I'm going to let the lesser things die so the greater God can live. He lives in me. How can anybody know he lives in me unless I die? Because if you know, and I'm just putting this out there, if you got to know me 20 years ago, well, I was a Christian. I was singing in the choir, playing the drums, preaching the word and everything else. But I don't think you wanted to be around me too much because guess what? I was about me. Every answer was me, words really mean nothing. It's the action. I think there's a saying. Well, let me think. Action speaks louder than words. Woo, where did that come from? That's been around a long time. But when we start to be self-controlled, that means if it doesn't take someone else, yes, we need to hold each other accountable. Yes, we need to get each other up to par. Yes, we need to encourage everyone. But guess what? The encouragement should not have to continue. When we grow, we now take on the responsibility of the lessons and let those lessons become part of us. So you help me get self-control. Thank you, Pastor. You allowed me to grow. You allowed me to get self-control. But now I'm self-controlled. It's to my turn to go and make a disciple or two or three or four or five. Let my example of self-control show other people how the man of God gave me. Now I'm the man of God that can give you. And it has to become a family thing, a oneness. Number four, we should have perseverance. We should have an attitude of hope. Oh, excuse me. Self-control was Titus 1:8. Perseverance. Perseverance is an attitude of hope through confidence in God's character, not our character. See, a lot of times, and maybe I don't know who I'm speaking to, but a lot of times it's our character that we think is making us successful. It's our character that we think is taking us to the next level. And that's where we have to decrease and understand that the only way that we can persevere is with God's character in us operating out of us. Number five. Number four came from Romans 5, 3 and 4. Number five is godliness. We must exemplify godliness.
Ah, glory to God.
See, we have to honor God in everything. See, godliness is this. Godliness is when you take him in your back pocket on everything you do. If you go play basketball, you got God with you. When you go to the movies, you got God with you. When you go to dinner, you have God with you. When you go to your kids' track meet, you have God with you. When you go to work in the morning, you have God with you. When you meet your wife for dinner, you have God with you. When you go to bed at night, you have God with you. When you jump in the shower, you have God with you. And it has to be that habitual, that our mindset walks in that authority, that Christ is with me, not just when I need him, not just when I want him, but when he's there with me just because I've made a choice. I made a choice to dwell in him. And when I stepped out to dwell in him, before I could even get all the way in, God came and dwelled in me. And when that power resides in us, now we can do it. Now we can say it. Now we can test it out. Number five, godliness. That comes from 1 Timothy 2 and 2. Honoring God in every walk of your life. God can, I have to go back, I have to say this one again. God has to be not a lapel on your suit, not a cross on your necklace, not an earring that's a cross or a dove. No. God has stopped it. We have to stop representing him by what we wear and start representing him by what people see in us.
Ooh. All right.
And when you represent him in everything you do, you'll see the favor of God move in everything you do. You're in a position you never would imagine that that door would open for you. But because you represent God, doors will open that you could never imagine open before. It is called consciousness. Number six, you must have compassion. We must have warm-hearted affection toward anyone, no matter their circumstances. You know, so now I'll tell you this, this is a testimony. If you don't have the right check coming to a church, some churches won't invite you back, no matter how heavy your anointing is. Some people won't even invite certain people to their church because they're not in the same class or same neighborhood or same financial backing. We have to get out of that as a one body that has a one mind, one thought, one purpose. We have to show compassion, and that's to everyone. Now, don't get me wrong, and I'm going to put this out there. We are charged to go make disciples. But some people's season is not where we think their season is. And you have to recognize by being a conscious man or woman of God, you can now recognize. Remember we talked about the functions of the conscious mind is to recognize, identify, organize, then file it on whether it's for now or for later, or I don't even need to deal with that. That's when we become conscious that we have people in our lives that we have sown a great seed in. And not to throw them away, but we have to let them go until they're ready to move into the anointing that God has spoken to their lives. And if you're wondering why maybe you're anointing the church every time they come, we have to be conscious enough to look deeper and look at these characteristics that are of Christ. And then we need to model the characteristics. See, once we model the characteristics and we start to train our people with these characteristics, our people will grow because now the word will perform itself because they have a foundation of purpose. They have a foundation of accountability. They have a foundation one way or the other. We're all the same. But here's the important part. If the person is not going to be accountable to what God has said you're accountable to, then you got to move around. And move around in love. And be willing to accept that same person back when they're willing to make the same commitments and the same sacrifices that you're willing to make. Now you'll see your anointing grow. Now you'll see your anointing really move. Now you'll see your anointing flow over into others. Because just like we continue to ask the Lord, fill my cup, Lord, fill my cup, Lord. Well, the only reason that we should be asking for our cup to be filled is because we're letting it overflow into others. That are letting it overflow into others. And that system becomes a system of production. But, you know, a lot of us are letting we're so icky because we're letting our anointing flow, but we're not even looking at where it's flowing or paying attention to who it's pouring on to and what they're doing with it when they leave. See, we spend a lot of time, pastors, bishops, and whoever's on the line, we spend a lot of time in our private closets. We spend a lot of time preparing ourselves to be in a spiritual situation that we can be focused and follow what God said, where it's not our words or thoughts, but it's his. We do so much work, but at the end of the day, we're the most tired, weak, and looking like the most helpless people around because we're not being conscious enough to protect this great anointing that God has put over our lives. And that's what why I'm so excited about Provoke, because we believe in encouraging others to step the game up. Without the reservation, if we're making friends, we're trying to build family. We're trying to build a close knit with people who will get on the same accord and watch God do some miraculous things in our lives. Number seven, And I could ask this question, and I would hope I would get the right answer. But number seven is love. Love comes from 1 John 4:7, sacrificing for others because God is love. See, by the example and the walk that we take, we make a difference in ways never imagined. You touch people's lives just by people watching how you react to things, how you make choices in bad situations, how you do not get flustered and bent out of shape over something that's really irrelevant. Worshiping God, that I know for a fact that we're in one accord right now. And I know that the words that God is speaking right now is blessing each and every one of us in our own way. Because what God has for me is for me. But what God has for you is for you. So when we start to develop these characters, these characteristics, when we start to change the way we think, we must start to become systematic. That system must come to play in your life. And if it doesn't, you have a problem. Now, I want to show you a principle that God revealed to me through my mentor, and then after the two of us got to working on this thing, God blessed us with an awesome lesson that comes directly from his word. He showed it to me, and I want to share it with you today. And I hope you have a pencil and paper because I want you to write this down. I'm going to read the scripture first, and then I'm going to take you through the formula, and then we're going to work the formula. And I just want to show you how important it is to don't leave. It's so important that we don't leave anything out. This principle was put together, was revealed, so we can now see that there is a systematic formula for change. That there's a systematic formula in place that if you follow every instruction, say every instruction, if you follow every instruction, he will give you whatsoever, say whatsoever it is that you ask. Amen? All right, well, here's my favorite word again. In verse 20, it says now. When? Now. When? That's a quick, but now remember, you took it where first? Remember, this word has to be seen where? Yes, it goes through your ear, but you want to see it in your mind. When? Now. Come on, focus. If anybody is out of focus right now, I dare you to get up, shake it off, and get back focused, because we have to stay focused at all times. And the enemy, you know, I remember when I first became a Christian. It was the hardest thing in the world for me to read a Bible, because when I can read half a chapter, I'm asleep. And it takes a lot for me to go to sleep. I'm a busybody. I'm always up. I'm always – don't let a preacher preach over an hour. We're ready to go home. We get so tired. We get so full of ready to go that we miss what God has to say. And I want us to get this today. Amen? Mark 11, starting at the 20th verse. It says, now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up by the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For surely I say unto you, whatsoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, and this is still Jesus, he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, that's the first thing I want you to write down, is I want you to write pray, and then under pray, I just want you to write a P, because it goes back in there in verse 24, and he says, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. For the Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But Now, remember this, and you can go back in the Bible, in every story you ever read, there is a contract to everything. If you follow his word, he will bless you. But if you don't, he will curse you. There's no gray area. God's word is very clear. There's no, well, you know what, I could just straddle the fence and I could do this and God's going to still bless me. I can't even get it out. I can't say that. Because the word tells me that if you follow his instructions to the fullest, he'll bless you. He'll bless your socks off. He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that will overtake you. But if you don't, he will curse you. But if you do not forgive, neither, that's verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespass. Now, I know a lot of you are saying, okay, I heard that. And, yeah, I got that. Okay, that was clear. But where's the algebra equation? Here we go. Now, we established that this section of Jesus' teaching has to do with what? Prayer. Because even though he instructed a step-by-step method of when you speak it, but now he exemplifies the fact that therefore I say to you in 24, whatever things you ask when you what? Pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So on your paper, I want you to put the P, but now we're going to go back up to 22. So we're going to pray. But here's the first instruction. Surely in 22, it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have what? Faith in God. So when you pray, you must pray in faith. So next to the P, write an F. And you can write this all the way out above that, that is going to say pray in faith. Amen? Okay. And then it says in 23, for surely I say to you, whoever says, when you say, you do what? You speak. I want you to put a dot after the F, and the dot in algebra represents times. And we're going to say PF times S. S is say. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, and cast into the sea. Now, so we add pray in faith times speaking it. Now, you know in algebra, all of my mathematicians out there, that algebra can have three equations in one formula. So the God's word shows me that there are some negatives and some positives that are going to be added to the equation. But when you add a separate equation to the beginning, you have to put parentheses. So this is how I want you. Now, then it says, but does not doubt in his heart, but believes. See, it says, but does not doubt means you take away doubt, but now you have to add belief. So I want this equation to be a PF times S, parentheses, negative D plus B. And then I want you to close the parentheses off. It says, for surely I say to you, whoever says unto this mountain, speak, be removed and cast into the... We're back to the front. I just want to make sure you got your equation right. PF times S, parentheses, minus D, plus belief, parentheses, F, F is for forgiveness, equals the thing. And you can call your thing whatsoever. Because it said it right there. It said, therefore, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespass. We have to be important on who we tell our dream to. That's why it's so important on who we let in on our vision. Because we got a lot of vision and purpose killers out there. Not that they're doing it on purpose, because the battle is not against flesh and blood, but because of the spirit in them does not want you to become focused. The spirit in some people don't want you to become successful. Their spirit in some people don't want to see you get whatsoever. So, pray in faith, try and speak. Parentheses, minus doubt, plus belief. Parentheses, F, equals the thing. Let's put some numbers with this, and let me show you a little trick. Prayer of faith equals 10. Speak equals 10. Minus doubt is minus 10. Belief is a positive 10. And forgiveness is 1,000. Let's work this. If you got that written down, 10 times 10 minus 10 plus 10 times 1,000. Now, let's do a little math. 10 times 10 is 100. Minus doubt is 90. Oh, but belief puts me right back where I'm supposed to be. I'm back at 100. 100 times 1,000 is what? Wow, you mean I get that much back if I follow God's word all the way? Man, that's awesome. But look at this. If you don't do one of those things, you can negate the whole problem. Yes, if you don't have belief, belief is already a positive 10, so that's only going to take away, that's going to make you get 900 instead of 100,000. If you have a zero in the place of the praying faith, all that's going to do is that'll end you up with 100 blessings. If you have a zero in any place other than in forgiveness, you might come out with a little something. But if you put zero in, and you prayed in faith, you spoke it, you don't doubt it, you believe, but you still have unforgiveness, guess what your equation went to? Zero. Now, I hope you wrote this down. I want you to study that. Email me on it. Question me all you want on it. But as I see it, I'm believing that that is exactly what the word said, that if I pray in faith and if I say unto this mountain and I don't doubt and I believe and I forgive, I can have, what does it say? I can have whatsoever I say. But if I don't forgive, neither will the Father in heaven forgive me. See how important it is to be fully equipped? See how important it is to do the full principle? Because, you know, I'm tired of trickling blessings. I'm ready for the overtaking type of blessings. And the only way we're going to get those overtaking blessings is if we follow His word to, with me, habits. Habits are the power attributes of our character. Habits turn our actions into our attitudes and then into our lifestyles. Because anything you do over becomes repetitious. And if you do it repetitious, it becomes easy. And anything you do easy will become a pleasure. And once it's a pleasure, you do it often. And anything you do often, baby, you gotta have it. And that can work good or bad. I don't know how many people here used to smoke. But the first time you smoked a cigarette, well, let's just keep it real. The first time I smoked a cigarette, I think I was about 12 years old. When I took a drag on that cigarette, I turned purple, green, yellow. I threw up. I was hiding from my mama because I was a young kid, and I didn't want her to know what I had been doing, and it just was hard for me to do. But the second day I went back, and I hit that cigarette again from one of the big boys in the neighborhood, it was a little bit easier. I didn't throw up that time. I got green, I got purple, but I didn't throw up. The third day I went, man, I didn't even get purple. I got green, and so forth and so on. The more I did it, the easier it was to light up a cigarette. And, you know, I'm from Compton. We didn't smoke nothing but Cools. And back in the day, Cools was like, oh, you smoke a Cool, you couldn't walk. But the more I smoked that cigarette, the easier it was for me to smoke. And then it was a pleasure for me to smoke. So then I bought packs, and now I smoke often. And guess what I had? I had a habit. But look, here, look at glory to God. The same principle that gave me a habit can be used to change a habit. Because when it finally got enough is enough, and I'm thinking about my health and the smell and the respect of others, the more I practice not smoking, it was hard at first. Oh, yes, it was hard. I cannot keep living the same way we live by expecting the Holy Spirit to change us. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to change ourselves. we can now implement the processes of God to change our lives. When? Now. Immediately. See, you don't have to wait, you know, and this gets me, because a lot of people will sit around and say, well, I need a 5-year plan. A lot of people will even go so far and say, I need a 10-year plan. Some people, you know, they just procrastinate anyway, so they stay on a 1-year plan because they already know they're going to procrastinate, and it doesn't look like they made that big a mistake because they can make another plan at the beginning of the year. Those are called resolutions. But it's come to a point in time when God is asking us to make conscious choices right now, that we can be changed right now, that we can be the men and women of God that he called us to be right now, that as we regain our birthrights, that as we can walk in confidence, God is waiting on us.
Uh-huh.
You know, the wilderness trip was only 11 days. It went from 11 days that it was only going to take 40 days because he was going to take them through a little test and build up the leadership and get everybody on one accord. But because they had no patience, 11 days turned to 40 days turned to 40 years. A lot of our lives are resembling the same thing. A lot of journeys that God had for them was only 11-day trip. But because of unconsciousness, it turned into 40 days. And then because of lackadaisicalness and the inability to be focused, it can turn into 40 years. Well, guess what? By the grace of God and by the blood of Jesus, your 40 years can end today. And you can make a choice right now to change the way you think by the actions that you take. This step of listening to this teaching is already step one. Those of you that have come back for the second day, I'm teaching the thing, and I've been sitting on the edge of my office desk, in my car, on the edge, just ready to get back in this thing, because I see the power of God. I'm ready to get back into this teaching. I've been on my knees in prayer for the last 2 hours, because I wanted God to be God. I want to allow him to really do a thing in this, that we all can say, at the end of the day, we can all say, you know what? I'm going higher. And not because of Pastor E, not because of the evangelist, not because of the apostle, not because of the bishop, but because I choose to go higher.
Yes, go.
Now, as I said before, our habits are the power attributes. Power attributes. Our habits are going to build us on whether we make good or not so good decisions. Our habits are intellectual. They're physical, and they're spiritual, and they're relational. See, those four areas, our habits form in those different quadrants. The way you become intellectual, it becomes habitual. The way you become physical becomes habitual. Now, I know most people on here work out every day and got it together and all that, but, you know, if I don't work out every day, I'm not as young as I used to be. And my physical won't stay. It used to take me a week to lose 5 pounds. It might take me 3 weeks now. That's why I have to become habitual on my eating habits. That's why I have to become habitual on my exercise. My spiritual. Now look, we receive the Holy Spirit. That's a great thing. But if you do not activate the Holy Spirit, and if you don't work the Holy Spirit and grow the Holy Spirit, that's all you'll have is the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
It's not so much, it's going to always be the power in you, but what about that power that worketh through you? That's the kind of power that is within them, and you got to meet with them. You cannot compromise your stand just because they're Muslim. Now, a lot of people won't admit this, but most Christians are scared of Muslims. Most Christians will not fight a battle against a Muslim. We don't think we can win the fight. But God is saying that we have to stand strong in all things. So if you're in a business meeting, I'm taking my Bible with me. And the people told me before, well, you know, the enemy just goes the other way. And then you can stand and say, you know what, no, I don't get attacked. Yes, I get tempted, but I don't get attacked anymore because you already know I got my gloves on at all times. I stay prepared. I know, call me. I tell all my friends all the time, hey, man, if you ever got a problem, got something going on, call me. Man, you be sleeping, man. Look, I may be sleeping, but call me. If I just look over and see it, like, as a matter of fact, all every day, everywhere,
mm-hmm.
and then God will start to move. Now, our habits, back to our habits. Our habits require daily attention. My brothers and sisters, it is hard work. Say hard work. It is hard work to change. But see, we got to begin to start walking conscious. We got to think and start living this new life of Christ in the realm of now. I'm going to be a Christian tomorrow. Are built by what's on the outside. Why do you listen to that? I know I shared this with you yesterday. But why do you listen to that? It sound good. But did you hear him call that woman this 5 times? Oh, well, no, it was just bumping. But after a while, if he listens to it over and over again, the next time his girlfriend get on him about not paying a bill, what's he going to call her? That same word that he's been listening to, commit to him, that means you're in his word. That means you're living his way. Then it says your thoughts will be established. You'll know what vision is for you. See, a lot of people are walking around. I got a call this morning. Pastor, I don't know, I got this. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but it was all a bunch of, I don't know about this, pour me that. And all I could tell them was this. If you're not getting what God says for you, something's wrong with you. It ain't the man that got the job, because, see, in this economy, cousin, because when it's all said and done, that person is the one who will let you down. But if you commit your ways all to him, he'll establish your thoughts. He'll establish your new job. He'll establish your household. He'll establish your friendships. He'll establish your relationships in church. He'll give you your position. He'll establish everything for you. Because now, as I shared with you yesterday, it doesn't become your will anymore. It becomes his will. Harvest. Now, I'm going to raise my hand because I know I have. But how many in the house have sold seed? And everybody's hand should be up right now. But how many can say with all confidence that where you sow, and I'm not talking about your church because you've been going to that church for a long time. You got a relationship there. But I know we sow seed in a lot of other places. But did we really look at the ground that we were sowing into? Are we conscious enough to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm a blessing. So we have to be that conscious about every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. So now when he sustains us, his character can be seen not on the outside, but his character can be seen through us, from the inside. See, we have to be complete in him. He has to be the source of everything. Our thinking has to be that goes through step by step. It shows you the brain, shows you the plate of faith, shows you the birthright, shows you all these 7 principles through teachings and through drawings also. So a lot of that I'm telling you through the airways, there are pictures and illustrations for this. But there are 3 types of people. 3 types of Christians, and that's the type of people we're talking about today. The number one person is a thinker. He thinks what God wants him to do at all times. He takes the word in, and he lets it process through hearing, through seeing, and through doing. See, those believers that trust God completely and allow our thinking to guide our beliefs, our thoughts, and our feelings. Those are called your BTFs. Say BTFs. BTF is a belief, thought, and a feeling that is going to guide you to either do godly or ungodly. But thinkers follow. They think God. A lot of us do it because it smells good. A lot of us do it because it looks good. A lot of us do it because it sounds. So what I'm saying is that Like my stomach is not as small as I would like it to be. But because of my senses, every time I see that chocolate cake, I want some. Knowing that that's the worst thing for me. it puts me in an overweight situation. But because of my senses, it's the first thing that comes to mind. Ooh, smells good. Then I look at it, and I see that chocolate, I want it. But my consciousness makes me say, you know what, Dick, don't do it. You know, tomorrow you're going to be mad at yourself. But most people are led by those senses. They're led by those emotions. Then they feel like they're supposed to do it. They go make the choice and it's bad. Then they think of how sorry they are. You see that process? God lets you think, feel, and act. Signed it, James 1:8. That's where we don't have any patience. We're not obedient about anything. And love is the farthest thing away from us. See, in this realm of subconsciousness, the enemy, his nature, it emanates from pride. So he wants you to be prideful. His nature emanates from keeping us doubtful, fearful. He wants to keep us off balance. He wants to destroy your equilibrium with God. See, when you're in balance with God, remember the Bible said that Adam walked with God, he talked with God, they were in complete balance. When God comes to sup with you and you sup with him, that puts you in complete balance with him. When you abide in him and he abides in you, that's called balance. The enemy wants you off balance at all times. He wants you unstable. He wants you unable to make a focused, conscious decision that will last. Because most decisions we make, we have to think about how bad it was later.
Mm-hmm.
But number three is the feelers. Most people live by their feelings only. I mean, their actions only. They act first. Yeah, they don't even think about it. They just go do it. Then later they think about it. Ooh, that was crazy. And then when they get arrested, then they feel, oh, I'm in jail now. That's an actor. They just do everything off actions. Why you do that? I don't know. I just did it. It was time to go. I had a rush. God gave you a vision. Your vision is a week down the line. But because you're so excited, you step up and go do it right away, and you don't get nothing out of it. And the first thing we want to do is blame God. But God is saying, get in line with what I'm telling you to do, where you can hear me clearly so you can do it exactly when I say go do it. He wants you to go knock on the door. It says knock on all doors, and there'll be what? Answer. But you go knock on the door 5 hours early. Nobody answers the door. You walk away depressed. You walk away worried. You walk away doubting, is that really God? But it's not God. It's us, because we're so out of line, so out of sync with him, that we're hearing him. You're wrong. We're hearing him. But are we hearing him clearly enough to do it the way he said do it? So look, we got to step this game up.
Hallelujah.
It's time for us to go to another level. If you have heard something in this message these last 2 days that has provoked you, that has given you an option of wanting to do something greater, then today is the day that you can do it. Today is the day that you can make a decision that will change the rest of the decisions for the rest of your life. No longer can we be stuck in our old past ways. Just all the pastors out there, I want to say to you today that, yes, we've been doing things a certain way for 10, 15 years, and I'll say this to anybody. If you've been doing things for 2 years and you're not seeing the results of God in what you're doing, it's time to move around. If you're operating your ministry and you're not in the social media network and you're not bringing in the available gifts to take this thing mainline, mainstream, then you need to move around. If you're doing something and you don't see any production coming from it, it's time to get rid of that thing and change the way you think. Let God guide you. Let God lead you. Let God provoke you unto your purpose. See, provoke to purpose is basically cut and dry, a swift kick to get you motivated right now. That's what God has called us to do, to bring it just the way he said, bring it, uncompromisable. Yes, we love people. Yes, we want to make good connections. Yes, we want to make friends. But the least of my worries is building friendships.
Cool.
But the most of my concern is building same thing that the same God says we can do. We can be more than conquerors. And I'm going to end here because I know we want to get a few calls in, but I just want to share this last thing, and maybe this will bring it home for you. You know, the Word of God says that we are to be more than conquerors. Well, that lets me know that I don't have to fight the battle anymore. Because it didn't say that I would be more than conquerors and fight the battle. It just says I would be more than a conqueror, meaning that there still are going to be conquerors on our teams that fight these battles. But we got to step up higher and stop fighting these little bitty battles and go to fight in the heavenlies and fight some of these spiritual battles that will remove yokes, that will resist the burdens, that will bring the anointing down, that will now we can see power in what we're doing. So today should be the day that enough is enough. Today should be the day that I choose to follow God wholeheartedly. Today should be the day that enough is enough is enough is enough. And I am ready. I am totally ready for what God has said I can have. And it says whatsoever, it says anything, it says all things, it says, there's so many examples in the Bible where God is willing to give us everything. But the thing we have to do is totally commit to Him. Totally, totally, totally make an agreement with Him that you're going all the way and nothing will turn you back. So, Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray that your word will not return void. Not to you, because, Lord, we know it's established with you. But, Lord, we want your word to come back to us with power. Lord, we want your word to restore the glory and honor in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Hello?
Wow. Amen, 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 I tell you. Woo! I don't even have words to say. I'm just sitting here absorbing and writing and getting notes and taking in all of this wonderful anointed word that has been taught to us these 2 days. I tell you, I feel like I'm, you know, when you're saying goodbye to a friend, you know, oh, no, I'm getting in the mainstream. You know, if we don't get into mainstream, nobody will ever know us. Nobody ever know that our church is sitting in the middle of the block. Nobody will never know that, you know, we're just 2 blocks from where you are. We got to get in the stream. We got to do better. So I just thank God for Pastor Hamilton. I tell you, taking these 2 days to come and share on a time of reflection with us. It has been just what I say, 2 marvelous days. And you know, many of the pastors should have been on this line. But, you know, some of us don't want to take it to the next level. Some of us are satisfied. We satisfied with our foe and no more. Yeah, well, if you satisfied with your foe and no more, then you keep on doing what you're doing. God bless you. Amen. But I'm looking for more. And Jesus is looking for more. He's requiring more of us. When we see people out on the street every day and we're not prepared to say a word about the Lord, then God is not pleased with that. He's not pleased with that. We should have a business card or something in our hand when something, and don't wait till they approach you. Approach them. That's what I do with my secular business. I just walk up to folks and start talking. So what do we do? That's for the Lord. These are souls. Every soul belongs to the Lord. The soul that's in it and the soul that is doing the will of God. We all belong to the Lord. And God, that's what God is interested in. He's interested in these messages in its entirety. Amen. Amen. So we're just going to go down the switchboard today because we still have about 17 callers on the line. So we're going to go down the switchboard. Pastor Hamilton, you know, you have a open invitation. Anytime the Lord lay us on your heart and you want to come share anything with us, this line is open to you. I tell you, we just have been, I've been mesmerized for 2 days. So God bless you, Sister Team. All right, faithful. God bless you. Okay, I'm not hearing nobody. Is it me?
No, I don't hear anybody either.
Hi, this is Sister Ballard.
Hello?
Okay. Hello, who am I speaking with?
This is Sister Deborah Ballard. I didn't know if you had said Sister Ballard or not, but I just wanted to say that I have so enjoyed what I heard this afternoon. I unfortunately didn't know about your previous messages, but thank God for you, Pastor. I enjoyed it immensely. Thank you
Amen.
So much.
Thank you so much.
Amen, Sister T. All right, we're going now to Sister Cummins. These lines aren't even opening quick enough for me today. So just bear with us.
I just want to say that.
Oh. Go ahead, Evangelist Cummins.
I just want to say that I don't have words to say. That what I want to say is that this man is anointed. And some of the things that have been in the back of your mind, he's enlightened them and brought it out and explained it, what God is trying to do with the body of Christ. And I'm just so blessed to receive what I receive. And you said again, where is he?
Houston.
Where is he?
Well, I'm in Houston, Texas.
Oh, he's in Houston, Texas. Okay.
Yes, Houston, Texas, yes.
Do you know Bishop Douglas Thomas?
We fellowship together. We don't really know each other that close, but we know each other.
Yeah, we got saved together. Yeah, we go.
If you look up Edward Hamilton on Facebook, I'm on the all the information and our teachings are on our Provoke Your Purpose page.
Okay, I got you. Edward
okay.
Hamilton. All right, and God bless you and continue on in the name of Jesus. But I just, you say you don't have to go around looking for friends, but you done gained one in Jesus Christ. I haven't seen you, but I just grabbed you in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, I've just enjoyed you so much. You kind of remind me of a bishop. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But I love that bishop. His name was Bishop Odeas Wright. And he was out of Chicago. He was a dean at a college in Chicago. But I loved Odeas Wright. But you remind me of him.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. So let the Lord go on and bless you.
And God bless you too.
Thank you, Sister Cummins. We're going to area code 919. The last four of your numbers 7732. Okay, going to Papa Johnson.
Praise
God
the Lord,
you.
Sister Adrian.
Okay,
praise the Lord, Sister Adrian. This is Minister Billy.
Minister Phyllis.
Billy.
Oh, this is Billy. God bless you. This is Minister Billy, you all. This is our host for our Saturday segment out of North Carolina. Happy belated birthday. Our birthday was yesterday, and she hosts for us on Saturday on Day Overcame. So she comes on at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's the East Coast. That's 5 o'clock on the West Coast. God bless you, Minister Billy.
God bless you. I did not get to hear all of yesterday. I was on the line, but I was traveling, so I didn't get a chance really to hear all of it. But I have just been blessed by this word today. I didn't get your name and where we could look up. You said some information that we could look up.
My name is Edward Hamilton, and you can look on Facebook. It's just Edward Pastor E. Hamilton.
That was Pastor E?
Yes.
Okay. I was just so blessed by that now. Now, that word now. I just grabbed me. And I said, we gleaming, and God is just amazing. And you're a pastor in Houston?
Yes. We have a church here and a ministry and a business And we also, once we join a partnership with churches and go and do our program for them, we now begin to open up some grant writing from them and try to get some finances for them. So we really partner on trying to build relationships across the country.
Amen.
Build us and continue to put us in our rightful place. You know, there's something about preaching to where when somebody has a hoop going on, but whenever someone can teach you and make it plain for you and that can break it down to where you understand, you're able to grow within that season. And so I do honor God for the great anointing on this great man of God to be able to teach ministries how to come out of a state of do-nothing and to rise into that place of destiny for which God is driving them to. With you, I mean, it was just an awesome series, and we would love to have you to come in and do some things over here. So we'll certainly be in contact in regards to that. But we just honor God for just your very presence and everything that God has installed upon you and built inside of you to help build these ministries into place of destiny that God is going to take them.
Well, God bless you,
Amen.
Pastor.
Amen. We'll get you the information.
You can find that God measured everything by the span of his hand. You look up span, it deals with measurements, it deals with dimensions, and it's found Isaiah 40:12 and also Isaiah 48:13 says, my hand also have laid the foundations of the earth. I'm just sharing that his word is accurate about a mathematics system, equations in the word of God that we can walk overcoming. And so if you look that up, and it says he measured with the span of the heavens, and then he called them, Pastor Hamilton, then he called them. When he spoke it, he called man and all the men and women of God on the line today.
I'll be in touch with you too.
Amen, amen. We're going to Sister Mim and then to Sister Charlotte, and then we're going to go to, then we're going to go to our co-host that have helped us for these 2 days, and I certainly couldn't have done all this without her. So, Sister Mim, God bless you.
Praise the Lord. I just want to give
joy to second day, and keep praying for me.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen, amen. We're going to go up to Sister T. Sister T, are you available? Okay, we have one more call we didn't get. Erica 919. Is that you, Billy? That's you. So, no, I'm not going back to you. Sister T? Okay, Sister Dawn?
Yes.
Are you able
yes,
to?
Yes, God bless you, man of God. I enjoyed your word today, and may you have a blessed day and all the week. God bless you. I love all of you all. Okay.
Amen, amen. Now we're going to Evangelist Phillips, and truly I thank God for this awesome woman of God that has came and assisted me these 2 days with these lines. I tell you, they have been a thrill for the 2 days that we thank God for. So we're going to Evangelist Sharon Phillips. For
he and anybody else yet. He still has great things for us to accomplish. He still has great things for us to learn. And you know what? I'm like the apostle, I think it was Apostle Johnson who said about the hooping and all that. I mean, hallelujah, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm so glad I'm on the phone. Praise the Lord, I don't have to run out no sanctuary. But I don't particularly care for the hooping because it sounds like you're having an asthma attack. And me being an asthmatic, it irritates me.
Right,
so
right.
I enjoy the teaching. We need more teaching than preaching, jumping across the pulpits, doing somersaults up and down the aisle. We don't need all that. We need teaching. It's teaching that's going to get us through. We need to learn. The Bible says to learn of him. We can't learn if folks is having asthma attacks. Am I right about it? Come on, somebody. Come
yes,
on,
ma'am.
Somebody. If you jumping all over the pulpits and oh, hallelujah, and having all these asthma attacks rolling on the floor, I can't learn nothing from you. You need to teach me about God. Hallelujah. I thank God for the preachers. I thank God for them. Don't get me wrong. I thank God for them. I thank God for the hooping every now and again. But we need more teaching than preaching. Hallelujah. I thank God. And I want you guys to know, I want everybody on the line to know, that when you in trouble, call on Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he's the only one, the only one that can save you. I did a sermon about don't trouble the water unless the water troubles you. And when you are troubled, just tell Jesus, Jesus, I'm in trouble. Hallelujah.
Right. Right. Hallelujah.
So, God bless you, Pastor Hamilton, and each and every one that is on the line. I give honors to Evangelist Bernard and Apostle Johnson and everybody else that's on the line. I give honors to whom honor is due. Hallelujah. Yes. And first and foremost, I give honor to my Lord and Savior, who is my entire life. I'm through. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Phillips. I tell you, we have had a beautiful time on this line, and we're going back to Pastor Hamilton, and we're going to let him close us on.
Well, Heavenly Father God, I'm excited. I have already seen in the spirit and in the heavenlies that God is about to build some awesome relationships through this time that we spent together. I just thank God for his word going forth, because believe me, I've been blessed. And it just keeps me going stronger and getting more ready to be available to fight this battle. So I just thank the Lord. I praise him today. And Heavenly Father God, I just continue to pray for Evangelist Adrian right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that as she continues to stay obedient to you, Heavenly Father God, that she gets out of the realm of what the outside says, but stays in the realm of what you will tell her, that, Lord, she will be of excellence, that she will be provided for, that she will be anointed, that she will have everything you promised her through her faithfulness and her obedience. So we thank you for her today. Lord, keep her going. Give her everything that she needs to do